And I've just been pressed in the Spirit. You ever get pressed in the Spirit? It's like, that's you gotta preach that. And so I trust that I'm following the leadership of the Lord this morning. And want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter number 23. Now, I do have a confession to make. Over the past year, somebody has gotten to my Bible and shrunk the print. And it's much smaller than what I remember it being. And I'm going to have to get a new Bible with large print. And I've come to realize that I've tried to put it off as long as I could. I always bring my reading glasses with me, and I try not to use them. I'm having to use them, right? So pray for me that I will be able to see this morning. Matthew chapter number 23, one verse of Scripture, in Matthew chapter number 23, a very serious and somber verse in the Word of God. And, you know, I think sometimes when we read Matthew chapter 23, we as the Lord's people, and perhaps even as Baptists, we say, well, I don't really need to pay attention to that because the Lord isn't talking to me. Well, the Lord might be talking to us, right? Notice Matthew chapter 23, verse number 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, now watch, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. I would like this morning to speak to you on this subject, omitting the weightier matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You today. We thank You so much for who You are. We thank You for forgiveness of sins that we have through the perfect sacrifice of Your dear Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, it's an amazing thing that sinners can even speak to You. And Lord, I pray and I hope that we are led as we enter upon holy ground and speak to our Heavenly Father, that we are reminded that, as that publican said, we're even ashamed to lift up our face to You. And yet, Lord, we balance that truth with the truth that says that we can come boldly by the blood of Christ. Lord, thank You for that. And Lord, as we've tried to focus on preaching Your Word during this series of meetings, Lord, help us to be real. Help us to be those that desire to hear from You truly, that we're not just going through the motions, that as we preach the Word, we're not just performing, but we're pouring our hearts and souls and spending and being spent for You. Lord, help us. Lord, as we look at this very serious subject this morning, it is very possible in our lives that we have become as the Pharisees, where we're so focused on the outward teachings of the law, and perhaps have even been guilty of adding to Your law, and have omitted the weightier matters. Lord, help us. Get a hold of our hearts. Help us to examine ourselves and be led by the Spirit of God. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You've done. We look forward to what You'll yet do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Omitting the weightier matters. To be called a hypocrite is one of the most piercing accusations that one can receive, is it not? Our text verse is in the midst of what has been called the most eloquent, most appalling, and most terrible of all discourses ever delivered to mortal man. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is in the temple, His house. He's in the presence of the multitudes. And as the Pharisees hear Him speak, they understand that He is denouncing them, and they quickly take counsel to slay Him. They become entangled in their own words. As God, the Lord Jesus Christ, displayed profound knowledge of their hypocrisy and their attempt to hide their true motives. In this, the last of Jesus' public discourses, He denounces the hypocritical Pharisees. He rightly accuses them of paying attention to strict obedience of the law, but omitting the weightier matters. Now, this is not popular. We don't want to hear it. There are still Pharisees today. There are still Pharisees that are Baptist Pharisees. There are still Pharisees that have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Yes, they are doctrinally sound. And they can say shibboleth, not sibboleth. And they have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Jesus is cutting to the heart of the issue. He's talking about what's in our hearts. He's talking about walking in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord and not just being able to recite a creed. Now, we may think that we don't need this message, but I do. I need to be reminded not to omit the weightier matters of the law. Now, I want to preface what we're going to cover this morning by saying that I'm not at all setting aside doctrine. What you believe is of utmost importance. And we ought to give emphasis to doctrine. And we ought to strive to be right. We ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We ought to work and labor in getting into the Word of God and seeing what the Word of God says and what it teaches. And yes, we ought to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. But we ought to do it without omitting the weightier matters of the law. And there are some in our day that omit the weightier matters of the law. I want to just quickly give a plug to our church website. I preached a series of messages a little over 2 years ago now on the abusive man. You do understand that there are abusers in the Lord's true churches. You understand that, right? And you can't tell who they are, because they look like everyone else. But you'll be able to tell by their actions because they omit the weightier matters of the law. And on our church website, tbcofallon.com, I've left all of those messages on there that deal with unmasking the reprobate and dealing with abusers in the Lord's churches today. This is a subject that we cannot shy away from. We're required of the Lord to preach it, to unmask it when the opportunity arises, and to help those who are victims of the abusers. God help us if we stand with the perpetrator. We are accountable before God. We will stand before God. We will answer how we have treated others. And if we are guilty of omitting the weightier matters of the law, God will hold us to account. Now, this morning, I have to remember to take a step back and, as my wife says, not be an angry little man. She accuses me of being an angry little man. And my answer to her is, sometimes we need to be angry. Sometimes there are some things that we ought to be angry about. The Lord Jesus Christ had a righteous anger. And we can be angry and sin not, can we not? Is that not what the Word of God says? And there are some things that should get our dander up. So I hope this morning that we're engaged in what God has to say to us through His Word. I want us to notice in discussing and looking at this topic this morning, omitting the weightier matters, I want us to look at four components to Christ's message on omitting the weightier matters. I want us to notice these four components. First of all, there is a pronouncement of woe. Secondly, we see the performance of works. Thirdly, we see the Lord addressing the precepts of weight. And then fourthly and finally, we see the Lord's proclamation of will. What does He want us to do with what He's saying? Notice these four components. We see the first component. The Lord, in His message here to the Pharisees, as He's speaking about omitting the weightier matters, we see in this a pronouncement of woe. Notice in Matthew 23, verse 23, the Lord begins by saying, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Jesus had observed them. He had detected who they really were. He read their heart in ways that you and I can't read somebody's heart. He knew exactly who the Pharisees were. He knew their motives. He knew what they were after. And it wasn't to please God. The Pharisees were not after pleasing God. They were after earthly things. They minded earthly things. And the Lord, in speaking to the Pharisees, we'll discover this here in just a moment. This is not the first time He pronounced a woe unto them. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Notice the Lord addresses the doom of the Pharisee and the hypocrite. The word woe is used as a denunciation in which the Lord foretells their doom. The Pharisees have 8 woes pronounced against them by the Savior here in Matthew 23. This is the 5th woe that the Lord addresses to them. What's He saying? He's saying, "You've missed the mark. You are guilty and you will be punished." He expresses absolute abhorrence at their wickedness, and He speaks of their certain destruction. And beloved, it is high time that the Lord's people are abhorred with wickedness. It is high time that the Lord's people stop calling the righteous the wicked and the wicked righteous. It is high time that we practice some discernment and we don't just make decisions based upon the flesh, but we engage our minds. Listen, the Lord gave you a brain for a purpose. Engage it. Read the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. Examine what the Lord said. Think about what the Lord is saying. And oftentimes we are mindless robots that just take what we've heard instead of examining what the Lord really wants. Should we not believe the doctrines of grace? Obviously. That's manna for the child of God. And yet you can believe all of the doctrines of grace and be guilty of omitting the weightier matters of the law. You can be right on such subjects as, get ready, divorce. And you can have a belief about divorce that might be scriptural, but is entirely devoid of any compassion and mercy, and you can omit the weightier matters of the law. If we're not careful, we can become like those that brought the woman taken in adultery to Jesus. And we can say, "See? Sinner? Stone them. Get rid of them." Instead of being men and women of compassion, omitting the weightier matters of the law. Notice the Lord is speaking to the hypocritical Pharisees and He says, "Woe unto you, Pharisees." He speaks about their doom. But then notice He focuses and references their deceit. This is the 4th of 7 times in this chapter that Jesus calls them hypocrites. We have forgotten the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have forgotten to go back to Matthew chapter 13 and read the parables concerning the kingdom of heaven. We have forgotten that the Lord said that the enemy will sow in the midst of the true crop his tares. and somebody says, I love Jesus, and we're on their side for eternity, and we forget that there are those that can even be in the midst of the Lord's true churches that are hypocrites, that are deceivers. The Lord says to the Pharisees, you look the part, but you're a hypocrite. You're a stage actor. The word hypocrite is taken from stage players who act the part of others. The Pharisees were hiding their real sentiments. And they were master manipulators. They knew what to say, when to say it. So nobody would ever think that the Pharisees had bad motives. These are the religious leaders of the day. This guy's a Baptist preacher. He would never have that as an improper motive. And yet, that is the reality of what we face today. I know we don't like to talk about these subjects. I understand that. I understand that we're here and we want to hear good, sound preaching. Not terrible preaching on my part, brother. Parable preaching, not terrible preaching. And yet, are we not guilty as God's men of not instructing the sheep and preaching on these subjects that sometimes we never want to talk about? The Lord observed some outward things, and others observed some outward things that gave them credibility. This Pharisee's a real believer. He's a real child of God. They had some of the ceremonies and traditions of the elders. And outwardly, they looked the part. But inside, they were dead. They omitted the weightier matters of the law. Matthew Poole says this. Matthew Poole was a man that Spurgeon said, if I had one commentary to read, it'd be Matthew Poole's. Matthew Poole wrote, there are no worse men in the world than hypocrites. Men pretending highly to God, yet neither themselves doing their duty and embracing the gospel, nor suffering others to do it. And the Lord pinpoints who these Pharisees are, and He boldly points them out. We see the first component in the Lord's message here on omitting the weightier matters. He pronounces a woe. But notice the second component. The Lord focuses on their performance of works. Now again, let's rightly divide the word. Why have we been saved? We've been created unto good works. The book of Titus, time and again, discusses the role and the place of good works in the life of the believer. We ought to be careful to maintain good works for necessary purposes in the book of Titus. And yet, notice the emphasis that the Pharisees placed on their works. The Lord says here, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. So they were paying tithe of mint and anise and cumin. It's good to tithe, isn't it? It's right to follow the leadership of the Lord. In fact, it's not only good to tithe. Pay me later, Brother Wayne. It's good to tithe, but it's good to go above and beyond the tithe. Right? It's good to be liberal with God. That's one time when it's okay to be liberal. Right? You be liberal in your giving, and God will be liberal with you. You know, and so we ought to give because all that we have belongs to the Lord anyways, and we're just giving a portion back to Him. He's so gracious to us. And so, what would you say about somebody who tithes? Man, that guy's a good church member. He tithes. He gives to the Lord. That guy could never do anything wrong. That guy could never be a Pharisee. He takes a tenth out of what he makes and he gives it to the Lord through the New Testament church. And the Lord is warning about looking at the performance of works. He says, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Now at first glance, this might look acceptable. This might look good. But they took the law of God and they enlarged upon it. Sometimes I think that we believe that we're doing the right thing when we enlarge upon the Word of God. Well, God says this, but you know, I want to be absolutely certain that I don't sin against God, so I'm just going to go ahead and add this. And when we add to the Word of God, we will have a woe pronounced upon us. Because God's Word, as we said from the get-go on Wednesday evening, it is perfect the way that it is. It does not need to be changed. A perfect God gave a perfect Word that you and I can trust in because we trust in a perfect God. And we don't need to add to the Word of God. And so the Pharisees here were adding to the Word of God. The law of God did not instruct the tithe to consist of herbs. Who added that? The Jewish rabbis added that. And so here are the Pharisees saying, look at us. We're going above and beyond. We've added to the instruction and we're complying to the letter of the law. And yet the Lord said in Mark chapter 7 and in Matthew chapter number 15, He said, again to the Pharisees, you are guilty of replacing the commandments of God with the traditions of men. Now, there's a lot of that that goes on. There's a lot of replacing the commandments of God with the traditions of men. And I'm all for preaching the Word. But I'm also all for as being as strict as the Word is and as lenient as the Word is. And not adding to the Word of God with the traditions that we have come up with through the years. Study the Word. You say, brother, I'm concerned about this area of standards. Study the Word. Pray that God would give you instruction on what His Word says. Don't read what Brother Mel wrote in a tract. Go to the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Because guess what? I can be wrong. I know Brother Cecil's shocked by that. I haven't heard you wrong since last night. So, but the Lord is addressing the performance of works. Notice, they had an outward obedience. The Pharisees had an outward obedience. The law required a tenth part of all property to support the Levites. Those that live with the gospel is true today, right? Those that preach the gospel should live with the gospel, right? And so God established that principle in the Old Testament. The tenth paid for the service of the sanctuary. Every third year, the tenth was given to the poor. By law, nearly one-third of the property was devoted to God's worship services, religious services, if you will. So notice that the Pharisees, if you just looked at the outward appearance, they were exact in the payment. They were rigidly adhering to the tenth and even going above and beyond by what the rabbis said was appropriate. They even gave to the temple service, a tenth of the herbs bought at the market. And yet, the Lord here is addressing their performance of work and He's saying, you are outwardly obedient, but you've missed the mark. Do you know that you can be outwardly obedient and be lost? I remember I've given you my testimony. 5 years a church member of a sound New Testament Baptist church, and I relied on my rigid adherence to being in the house of God in the morning and Sunday evening and on Wednesday, and I rigidly adhered. I rigidly read the Bible. I rigidly studied. And it was all for naught because there wasn't anything in the heart. I was very quick to write a letter to a pastor that I didn't agree with, correcting that pastor. And I was omitting the weightier matters of the law. We're so consumed with outward obedience. The Lord says in Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 42, "But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." There are times at work where somebody will say, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to do this or this? And I say, well, I want you to do both. We're paying you for a job, right? You've got to balance our time. So yeah, I want you to do that, but it's not a choice of either this or that. I want you to do both. And the Lord is not saying we should not walk in a way that is honoring and glorifying unto Him. We ought to be concerned about our walk. But He is saying that it isn't one or the other. It's both. And we ought not to admit the weightier matters of the law. They passed over judgment. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And the love of God. You know, to hear some people speak, and I'm just going to lay it down where it is this morning. To hear some people speak, there's not an ounce of compassion in them. They're harsh. They're critical. They don't display the love of God. And yet they're doctrinally right. I don't understand that. I don't know any other way to explain it than the way that the Lord is explaining it in this passage. We preached on the parable of the unmerciful servant last Sunday. And shouldn't somebody who's had such a great debt forgiven, if you go back their estimates that the debt that that unmerciful servant had forgiven would be about $150 million. And the Lord forgave him all that debt, and then he goes out to a fellow servant who owed him about $12. And there's no mercy. There's no compassion. The servant rightly owed that debt to his fellow servant, but there was no mercy or compassion, no love of God displayed in the unmerciful servant's life. And I'm fearful that too often we focus on the wrong thing. We focus on outward obedience and dotting our I's and crossing our T's. And we should be right. But we should not omit the weightier matters of the law. Oh, it was the Pharisees that in the Lord's parable, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 12, it was the Pharisee that said to God, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But what did the publican do? Oh, woe is me. The Lord didn't have to pronounce a woe on the publican. The publican pronounced a woe on himself. I'm a wretch. I don't even deserve to be in your presence, Lord. I can't even lift my eyes up to heaven. I'm wicked and depraved. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's not the attitude of the Pharisee. That's not the attitude of one that is omitting the weightier matters of the law. What was the real reason that the Pharisees were obedient? Well, notice, we see their outward obedience, but notice they had an odious objective. Notice in Matthew chapter number 6, turn back with me to Matthew chapter number 6, verses 1 through 5. We see here the real motivation behind the Pharisee. In Matthew chapter number 6, notice verses 1 through 5. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, now watch, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Wow. That's straight to the heart, isn't it? The Lord discerned the motivation. The Lord discerns our motivation. Why are you preaching, brother? I want to make a name for myself. I want to be somebody. Oh, God, help the flock that man is preaching to. Brother Wayne mentioned the other day, you know, if it was up to him, he wouldn't be preaching. I think any man called of God would say that. We're unfit for the task before us. Who am I to stand up and deliver the holy Word of God? God help me. God help His sheep to hear the Word of God and not just the words of the preacher. And yet, oftentimes we omit the weightier matters of the law. Notice this third component. Four components to Christ's message on omitting the weightier matters. There's a pronouncement of woe. He focuses on their performance of works. But then notice He shifts His attention. He talks about the precepts of weight. There are precepts in the Word of God that are weightier than others. And we have to understand that. You say, well, all of the Word of God is important. It's true. It is all important. But if I said to you, is it more important to preach the gospel to the sinner or to tell them how to be baptized? A little bit more important to preach Abraham's gospel, isn't it? So we have to understand that there are precepts of weight. The Lord says to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter number 23 and verse number 23, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. And then notice the Lord doesn't leave us to try to figure out what those weightier matters are. He identifies them for us. He says judgment, mercy, and faith. And you know, we all ought to do a checkup and evaluate ourselves and see if we are people that would be described as people of judgment, mercy, and faith. Judgment. Notice here, the Lord begins with judgment and He moves to mercy and faith. The Pharisees had neglected that which was a true reflection of their heart. Now the Jews divided 613, the Old Testament into 613 commands. They divided them into lighter and heavier commands. And so the Lord is using terminology here that the Jews would know and understand. And He begins with judgment. What is judgment? It is the administration of justice. It is protecting and relieving the injured and the oppressed. Some of you know that for the past couple years I've been going to law school. What in the world is a Baptist preacher going to law school for? Don't we need some saved lawyers? And as long as the Lord has me work in a secular job, I want to be used in whatever capacity I can. And the Lord began to deal with me some time ago about the subject of justice and judgment. And how there are so many that are victims. And there's nobody that will stand up and be a voice for them. And God, time and time again in His Word, focuses on the subject of justice and judgment and relieving the oppressed. And one of my life verses is now Proverbs 21 verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And God says to the Pharisees, you look the part. You can say shibboleth. You got it all down pat. But you're lacking the weightier matters of the law. Judgment. Relieving the oppressed. They devoured. What does the Bible say in other portions of the New Testament? They devoured widows' houses and oppressed the poor and the fatherless. This was what the Pharisees did. Proverbs 14 verse 31 says, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. And I don't think it's just talking about the poor in their pocketbook. The Pharisees omitted judgment. They omitted mercy. acts of compassion to the distressed. Showing kindness and being compassionate to the distressed. There wasn't a compassionate bone in their body. The Lord said in James chapter 2, verse 13, "For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." In Psalms 109, verse 16, "Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor." Anybody that's been the recipient of the mercy of God, how can we then be unmerciful? How can we then omit the weightier matters of the law? Brother Spurgeon, in his epic work, The Treasury of David, writes about the harsh and cruel man that shows no mercy. He wrote, "So little mercy had he ever shown that he had forgotten how to do it. He was without common humanity, devoid of compassion, and therefore only worthy to be dealt with after the bare rule of justice, a needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart." If we are to be anything as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to be men and women of judgment. We're to be men and women of mercy. And again, I'm not talking about overlooking sin. What did the Lord say to the woman taken in adultery? Go and sin no more. And yet the Lord, in that classic illustration, was a man of compassion and mercy. Notice faith. These precepts of weight. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Faith in God and in His Word. Not, as Brother Titus brought up yesterday, filled with pride. Not arrogant and filled with such hubris that we believe that the world exists for our purposes. Faith in God and faith in His Word. What did the Lord say? We read it already in Luke chapter number 11, verse 42. He said, "And you pass over judgment and the love of God." And we ought to examine our lives and see whether or not we really love God. What is pure religion? And undefiled. James chapter 1, verse 27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." James addresses both issues, doesn't he? Walk in a way that's pleasing unto our Heavenly Father, and be a man or woman of judgment, mercy, and faith. God help us when we can recite the creed and we're right doctrinally. Oh yeah, brother, that church is right. That church is a doctrinally sound church. And there's no compassion. There's no mercy. There's no faith in God. There's no love for God and what God desires. Because when that's the case, have we not become Pharisees? Notice this fourth and final component. The Lord gives the proclamation of His will. You know, you ought to desire, I ought to desire with all of my heart to know the will of God. Again, as Brother Titus brought out the other day, what was the first thing that Saul of Tarsus said when the Lord saved him? "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Lord, show me Your will. Teach me Your Word. Help me to know what You want me to do. I know, Lord, that maybe some of the things that You want me to do, others might not understand." See Ezekiel. Right? Go back and read Ezekiel and some of the things the Lord had Ezekiel do, and you probably wouldn't understand that. Right? But some of the things the Lord has us do, others say, "I don't understand why He's doing that." Well, are you following the Lord? Are you seeking the will of God? Notice the Lord says in Matthew 23, verse 23, "These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." The Lord is not saying, throw out the law of God. He's not saying that. When we throw out the law, we become antinomians. And when we have only grace without law, we are antinomians. We say we might as well walk however we want to walk, because after all, Christ died for our sins. And the Apostle Paul addresses that thought in the book of Romans. We are supposed to find the will of God. Jesus reveals God's will to these hypocrites. And what He's saying to them is that He wants their attention to be on both. These ye ought to have done. You ought to be men of judgment, mercy, and faith, and not to leave the other undone. We can have law without grace, which is legalism. We're saved by the works of the law. We can have grace without law, which is antinomianism. And we're just concerned about the fact that we can do whatever we want because God saved us. Both are wrong. Notice in the proclamation of His will, Jesus affirms the law. Do you understand that the commandments of God are not grievous? The law of God exists for our benefit. It isn't some bad thing that, oh, I have to go to church on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Oh, I have to refrain from this. Oh, I have to do this. No, we get to be servants of the Lord. And how many people do you know right now that are incarcerated? That are having problems in their lives because they have forsaken the law of God. Jesus affirms the law. The commandments of God still exist and we are to be obedient. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, and a lot of people don't like to hear this, yeah, you should be tithing. Well, tithing is not taught in the New Testament. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. That's the minimum. That's the precept that God has said, and we ought to be liberal. We ought to give over and above that. We ought to give the mission work. We ought to give liberally and graciously to the Lord through the New Testament church. And the Lord is saying that we're to be obedient. In reality, obedience is important in the life of the child of God, isn't it? We would never say to someone to be obedient. I was talking with Brother Wayne and Sister Jessie and perhaps some of the other folks here, and talking about a couple that we know that are members of the Sound Independent Baptist Church, and she got a job that's going to take them 3 hours away, and they're moving 3 hours away. This guy's the song leader, this guy's the Sunday school teacher, and they're moving 3 hours away where there's no church. I don't understand that. I don't get that. Put first things first. Seek Me and My kingdom first, and I'll add all these things to you, the Lord said. And so the Lord is not abrogating the law. He's affirming the law. He's giving His will. He's proclaiming His will. And then He says this, and really this is the thrust of what He's saying, and we ought to heed what He says. He says, you know, you ought to take account of your life. You ought to examine yourself. You ought to examine where you're at. You ought to consider whether or not you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. Each of us ought to do that. Has somebody come to me and told me something about somebody and I just believed it and I didn't check it out? Now I've targeted that person. And I've ostracized that person because of what somebody told me. And I didn't even think to call that person and find out about it. I've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. We ought not to be that way as the Lord's people. We ought to take account of our own lives. Are we relying on our outward obedience to the law of God? Or are we honest and courageous enough to take a look inside? It's easy to beat up on the Pharisees. There are seven kinds of Pharisees. Study them out. Seven kinds of Pharisees. All different lengths that they would go to. And I may have mentioned this before. There's one type of Pharisee that would get up next to a wall and they'd close their eyes and they'd walk into that wall till their forehead was bloody, because they said that the Lord said that if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. And so they were going to the extreme to try to show that they weren't adulterers in their minds. That's nuts. And yet that's a type of Pharisee. There were seven types of Pharisees. Have we become Pharisees? Have we omitted the weightier matters of the law? We'll conclude by looking at one passage in the book of Galatians. We always point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will give us instruction if we're really desirous in seeking what His will is and what His Word says. Jesus will give us the right instruction. And I want you to notice in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Notice here. In Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. That left the Pharisees out. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Notice it's not even our faith. It's the faith that took the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill the will of the Father in going to the cross and giving Himself a sacrifice for many. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We shouldn't just look at our life and say, look, I'm outwardly obedient. I go to church, I tithe, I read my Bible, I pray, I've been baptized scripturally, I got it all down, look at me, I'm good to go. And the Lord says, hey, you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. There's nothing in here. You've omitted judgment, mercy, and faith. God help us. Jesus preached a message to these Pharisees, didn't He? He focused on four components. He pronounced a woe. He took a look at their performance of works, and then He shifted to considering those precepts of weight, and then finally He proclaimed His will. You should do that, but you should do this too. Omitting the weightier matters, Brother Wayne.